Romans chapter 4. Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Our goal is to help ordinary believers grow as disciples of Jesus, to make disciples of Jesus, and to equip them for every good work through the Word of God. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus, learns from Jesus, follows Jesus, and is becoming like Jesus. Meditating on and sharing the Word with one another is a central part of walking with Jesus and becoming like Him. Our basic approach to in Friends Bible Study is read, write, share, and listen. Please answer the meditation questions provided for Romans chapter 4. Also, consider the following questions as you meditate on each passage. What did I learn from Jesus? What is He saying to me today? How will I follow Jesus today? And how can I become more like Jesus through this study? I have encouraged you at the beginning of each chapter so far to approach the study of Romans with a heart of faith. Paul talks a lot about faith in this letter. I want to continue to encourage you to believe in Jesus himself, not only in doctrines about him. Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 17, "The righteous shall live by faith." God wants us to trust him and walk step by step with him by faith every day. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for your word through which we receive life in Christ every day. We believe you and open our hearts to you. Teach us how to walk by faith today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Introduction to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, Paul continues the discussion of justification he began in chapter 3. The word justification appears or is referred to in Romans chapters 3 and 4 around 30 times. It's a word that has been hotly debated, yet it lies at the very heart of the gospel. I will go into some detail to explain the context and background of this word justification, and I hope that our study today will bring its meaning into clear focus. Justification includes the forgiveness of sins and freedom from the penalty of sin. God has declared us to be not guilty and to be righteous before him, not by what we've done, but what Jesus has done for us. This is called imputed righteousness. Justification means that we have been legally declared to be righteous. Paul's teaching in Romans 4 about justification by faith, not by works, has also been a subject of much debate and division because James, in his letter, seems to teach the opposite. Let's read what James wrote in chapter 2, verses 14 to 24 of James. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you tells him, 'Go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed,' but does not provide for his physical needs, what good is that? So too, faith by itself, if it does not result in action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that God is one? Good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Foolish man, oh foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is worthless? Was not our father Abraham justified by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith was working with his actions, and his faith was perfected by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' As you can see, a man is justified by his deeds and not by his faith alone." Although our study focuses on Romans 4, it is important to understand that what James wrote. James appears to contradict Paul's teaching, but in reality, they complement each other. So how do we understand this apparent contradiction? It is helpful to realize that Paul and James were dealing with two different problems. Paul was confronting legalism, the belief that people must keep the law and be circumcised to be saved. James was confronting dead intellectual faith. Some people claimed they believed in God, but they had no change of life, no evidence of genuine faith, and no intention of obeying Jesus. James asked in verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" This was the question James was dealing with. Some people interpreted Paul's teaching that we are saved by faith apart from works to mean that we can be saved by intellectual faith alone. Even today, some people think that if we intellectually accept that Jesus died for our sins, we will be saved. James was writing against this concept of faith. He said, "Even the demons believe there is one God." So when James said that a person is saved by his deeds and not saved by faith alone, he was referring to intellectual faith. He was saying that saving faith must be a faith that includes actions. Some people today teach that people can be saved through intellectual faith alone. They teach that if a person intellectually understands and accepts the gospel as true, they will be saved, even if they have no intention of following Jesus. I think James was speaking to people like this. Paul was speaking about a separate problem. As we mentioned, some Jewish false teachers taught that people must be circumcised and obey the law to be saved. Paul argues in Romans that we are saved by faith in what Jesus has done for us. We cannot become righteous by what we do or earn salvation by our good works. However, even in Romans, Paul spoke about the obedience of faith. True obedience comes from faith, not as a way to earn salvation, but as a natural consequence of it. Faith itself is an act of obedience, and this faith leads to a life of ongoing obedience. Although Paul's teaching and James's words seem to contradict each other, it is helpful to see that they were addressing different issues. Paul was saying that our works cannot save us. James said our faith must be expressed by our actions. Some people may say, "I believe that Jesus died for my sins," but they have no personal relationship with Jesus and have no intention of following him. We must have personal trust in Christ to be saved, not just intellectual faith. We need to believe not only that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but we must personally put our faith in him. We do not have genuine faith if there's no intention of obeying Jesus, even if we say that we believe in him. True faith in the heart will be evidenced by the way we live. James's point is that dead intellectual faith cannot save anyone. I have outlined the controversy about how we are justified and the meaning of true faith, which continues to the present day. However, there was another major controversy that plagued the New Testament church. Understanding this controversy is vital to understand why Paul wrote this letter to believers in Rome. One of the biggest reasons Paul went into great detail about how we are made righteous in God's sight was because of the Judaizers. They were Jews who claimed to believe in Jesus, but they taught that to be saved, one must be circumcised and observe Jewish laws and customs. This was the greatest heresy and challenge to the spread of the gospel in the early church. God revealed to the church through Peter and other disciples that the Gentiles could also believe the gospel and be saved. The gospel began to spread among non-Jewish peoples, first to Samaria and then to Antioch. The apostles sent Barnabas to Antioch to guide the new believers and to help them grow as disciples of Jesus. Barnabas went to Tarsus to get Paul to help teach and disciple the new believers in Antioch. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were sent by the Holy Spirit on a mission trip to share the gospel in various places around the Mediterranean Sea. Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch at the end of Acts chapter 14. Then in Acts 15, verse 1, it explains what happened next. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching, "Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Acts 15:2 describes the debate between Paul and Barnabas and the group who were preaching circumcision. The conflict was so great that the church in Antioch decided to send them to Jerusalem to discuss the matter with the apostles and elders there. Their conclusion was that the Gentiles do not have to be circumcised or follow Jewish customs to be saved. The elders and apostles wrote their decision and sent it to the church in Antioch. This decision was one of the most crucial factors in the rapid spread of the gospel in the first century. This decision meant that Gentiles could be saved through faith in Jesus apart from the law. They did not have to be circumcised or follow Jewish culture or customs to be saved. They believed and followed Jesus, but maintained their own language, customs, and culture. Nevertheless, the people who promoted this heresy followed Paul wherever he started new churches to spread their false doctrine. They taught that no one could be saved without being circumcised. Later, they were called Judaizers because they promoted following the laws and customs of Judaism. The Judaizers were Paul's fiercest opponents. They stirred up trouble in the places Paul preached the gospel. The book of Acts records how Paul was beaten, stoned, and severely persecuted for preaching the gospel of grace. In most cases, Paul was persecuted by the Judaizers. They were Jewish people who said they believed in Jesus, but wanted to force all believers to follow Jewish laws, customs, and culture. Answering this first century false teaching is one of the reasons Paul went into so much detail in his letter to the Romans about how we are saved. For centuries, and to this very day, there are many false teachings and heretical cults. One common denominator between them is their teaching on how we are saved and made righteous in God's sight. Most cults deny that we can be saved by faith in what Jesus has done for us alone. They teach that to be saved, people must follow their doctrines, systems, and organization. Satan does not want people to be saved, so he spreads false teachings about Jesus and about how we can be saved. It is therefore vital today to be crystal clear about how we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith, apart from the law. We are saved by what Jesus has done for us, not through our own efforts or by the works of the law. A majority of the persecution Paul faced came from the Judaizers, who were also called the circumcision party. They preached that we are not saved by faith in Christ alone. They taught that we were saved by believing in Jesus plus keeping the law, including circumcision and other Jewish customs. This is legalism. Legalism is an attempt to add something to the gospel that we must do to be saved. In Romans 4, Paul answers several questions to make it absolutely clear how we are saved. He exposes the false teachings of people who say that we can only be saved by obeying Old Testament laws. In our study of Romans 4, we will discuss the questions Paul is answering, which will serve as an outline for us as we study. I will just repeat the questions that Paul asked and which we will discuss through this chapter. Did Abraham have anything to boast about? Verses 1 to 3. Verses 4 to 8. Is righteousness a free gift from God, or is it something that we earn? Verses 9 to 12. Is God's promise only for people who are circumcised? Verses 13 to 17. Why was God's promise not given to Abraham through the law, but by faith? Verses 18 to 22. How did Abraham strengthen his faith? And 23 to 25. What does it mean for righteousness to be credited to us?